Oh, what a wonderful song that was. How many of you remember singing that song? Raise your hand high so I can see it. So now I know how old you are. No, I'm kidding. And I will tell you what, I was just telling Roy, we need to have a Maranatha Jesus Movement worship night somewhere. Some of those old songs that just love. And as Roy said, many of them are just singing the Psalms. So thank you for that. We're going to begin tonight in a psalm that's probably the most well-known psalm and most loved psalm in the book of Psalms. And it's actually one of the most well-known passages in all of Scripture. Psalm 23. Psalm 23. What a delightful psalm. If you didn't bring your Bible with you, you should be able to find one under a chair somewhere in front of you, but it'd be great for you to read along with us. Psalm 23. Let's pray. Father, we are so blessed to be the sheep of your hand, to have you as our shepherd. Remind us tonight of how much you love us and care about us. All the blessings that you want to pour out upon our lives. You are an awesome shepherd. I pray, Lord, that every soul in this room would be able to say that you are the shepherd. Strengthen us tonight. Draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I know that many of you have probably read Psalm 23 hundreds of times in your life. But let's read it again tonight afresh, like it's the first time. A Psalm of David, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's very common to hear that psalm read at a funeral service. And in fact, I've heard that psalm read, I would say, in most every funeral service I've ever conducted or attended in the last several years. And so a lot of people, they associate this psalm with death. It's associated with a funeral service. And it is very appropriate for a funeral service. But I want you to know tonight that this is not just a psalm for death. This is actually a psalm for life, all of life. Every gamut of life, life here, death, the next life. David is essentially bragging in this psalm. He's bragging about having the Lord as his shepherd. He's celebrating all of the wonderful blessings that he enjoys in his life, having the Lord as his shepherd. And you know what? If the Lord is our shepherd, we have a lot to celebrate, don't we? In this life, right here, right now. You know, if the Lord is your shepherd, you will know and enjoy satisfaction, purpose, meaning. Verse 1, David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." In other words, I have the Lord as my shepherd and I have everything I need. There's nothing that I'm lacking. David would say, the search for satisfaction, purpose, and meaning in life is over for me because I found it. I'm satisfied in the Lord. And that is an amazing thing to be able to say and experience, don't you think? Satisfaction. Deep-seated, long-lasting. As I look around society, I find a lot of unsatisfied people, don't you? And I see a lot of people trying to find satisfaction in the things of this world. People try to find satisfaction in career, or in money, or in relationships, or in fame, or in sports, or in activities. And you pursue those things in this world, and you might get a little bit of satisfaction, but it's temporary. It's not long-lasting. You're still thirsty. You still need more. And then unfortunately and sadly, there are a lot of people that try to find satisfaction in things in this world that can actually destroy them. People try to find meaning and purpose and satisfaction and happiness in drugs, or in drinking, or in party, or in sexual encounters. And the world dangles that stuff up and says, hey, come check this out. Come try this. It'll satisfy you. It'll fulfill you. It'll give you purpose. And yet many of those things can absolutely destroy you. A police officer years ago found a typewritten note in a telephone booth. Some poor soul had taken the time to type this out. He writes, "King Heroin is my shepherd. I shall always want. He maketh me to lie down in gutters. He leadeth me beside the troubled water. He destroyeth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of wickedness for the effort's sake. Yea, I shall walk through the valley of poverty and will fear all evil, for heroin art with me. Thy needle and capsule try to comfort me. Thou strippest the table of groceries in the presence of my family. Thou robbest my head of reason. My cup of sorrow runneth over. Surely heroin addiction shall stalk me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the damned forever." Can you imagine the person that wrote that letter? Oh, come try heroin. It'll fulfill you. You'll be happy. And it destroys you. You know what? You can only find satisfaction that you're looking for in Jesus. In the Lord. He'll give you purpose and meaning. Long-lasting, deep, meaningful. The Lord's your shepherd, you find that. I love how one little child slightly misquoted the first line of this psalm. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, what more shall I want?" That's a great way to interpret it. If you have the Lord and He's your shepherd, you've got everything. You've got purpose, you've got meaning, you've got satisfaction. If the Lord is your shepherd, you also get His guidance in life. Think about that. If the Lord is your shepherd, He will direct the paths of your life. David likens himself to a sheep in this psalm, and I like that. I think that's a fitting analogy for all of us. We're all sheep. He's a sheep and he has the shepherd who leads him around in life. And David could look back over his whole life and see how the Lord led him to wonderful spots of rest and opportunity. In verse 2, he says, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." David could say, the Lord led me to these awesome places in life. He was directing my life. He was connecting the dots in my life. And that's, again, a wonderful thing to be able to say and enjoy, having the Lord as your guide in life. Again, as I look out in society, I see a lot of aimless people. I see a lot of people wondering, especially in the younger generation, what am I going to do with my life? Where am I headed? What? Did you know that if the Lord is your shepherd, He is interested about every single detail of your life, like what school you'll go to, what career, who you're going to marry, where you're going to live, where you need to serve in church? And He'll lead you. He'll lead you to opportunities to be at the right place at the right time. David also says, He leads me in the paths of righteousness, verse 3. He could look back over his life and said, because the Lord was my shepherd, He kept me on the righteous path. He kept me on the pathway of holiness. I was safe on that path. Later on, he says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. A shepherd would carry a staff around. You know the hook at the top? And you know what they do with that staff? When a little lamb started to wander off, get off the path, grab that little guy around the neck, pull back on the path. And David could look back and say, my Lord, as my shepherd, He's led me in the way of righteousness. And when I got off the path, He got me. He took me back. He put me on the right road. You know, if you have the Lord as your shepherd, He will lead you in good, good paths. Paths of righteousness. A holy path. You know, He does give us commands. The Lord leads us in the Word. And there are commands for us to follow. There are boundaries in life that the Lord has set up for us. He doesn't give us those laws to cramp our styles. God doesn't give these commands so that He can say, well, I want to take away their fun. Those boundaries keep your life safe, healthy, dynamic, vibrant. And what a wonderful shepherd we have, that if we do make some wrong choices, He'll grab us around the neck, pull us back in. Think of it. If the Lord is your shepherd, you have His direction in life. If the Lord's your shepherd, you also have His provision. David could look back over his life and say, the Lord has taken care of me. He's fed me. He's given me shelter. He's clothed me. He's taken care of all of my needs. Again, in verse 2, he says, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. What do sheep do in green pastures? They eat, right? He leads me beside the still waters. What do they do beside those still waters? They drink. Oh, my Lord has always taken care of me. I love in verse 5, he says, You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. David can remember times in his life where he's surrounded by enemies. He's surrounded by opposition, all sides, no way out. And because the Lord was his shepherd, he still sat down at a table and had a meal. Do you understand? The same is true for us tonight. If the Lord's your shepherd, He is going to provide for you. He is going to take care of you. Understand this. In the shepherd-sheep relationship, the sheep belongs to the shepherd, and the shepherd is responsible for the care of the sheep, right? to take care of that sheep. If you belong to the Lord, He has promised to take care of you. I mean, I know we live in difficult economic times and there's a lot of uncertainty out there, but I'll tell you what, if the Lord is your shepherd, you can count on Him to provide for you, to take care of you. And you know what? He can do it miraculously, can't He? I look in the Bible and I find that God is very creative in the way He feeds people. Manna from heaven. At one point, He sends birds with meat to the prophet Elijah. Now, that's not to say that as a Christian, you just sit around waiting for birds to come your way. But God can and will take care of you supernaturally. Oh, and by the way, one of the ways that God will provide for you and lead you into opportunities is to give you work, to find a job, to go out there and be responsible. But you have that promise. I know lots of times we think of David, or at least when I think of David, I think of him as King David, where he's in his palace. And he had all of his banquets and royal parties, and you know, you can see him eating these great feasts, right? And he did enjoy that as a king, but don't forget that there was over a decade in his life where he essentially lived as a homeless man. And he was in caves, and he was running from King Saul, and he never went hungry. Understand that tonight. You get the Lord as your shepherd, and He has promised to provide for you. And He will. There's another blessing I see in this psalm, His protection. If the Lord is your shepherd, He will protect you. In verse 4, David says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Again, David could look back his life, over his life, and you know, David was in a lot of near-death situations, wasn't he? He was always getting in trouble with enemies, but he could look back and he can remember that God was there to protect him. God never left him, not even in the valley of the shadow of death. David says, "I've been in the valley of the shadow of death, and the Lord is my shepherd, never left me. He was there for me." He says, "Your rod and your staff comfort me." Now, why did shepherds have the rod? What would they do with the rod? Beat up wolves. If wolves came the way of a sheep, it was the shepherd's job to protect. And David knew that the Lord was his shield. And I want you to understand tonight, my brother, my sister in Christ, if the Lord's your shepherd, and He is if you're a Christian, He's got your back. I want you to think about that. He has promised, "I will never leave you or forsake you." He will protect you. He's way bigger than any person in your life that you might be afraid of right now. He's way more powerful. Wouldn't you agree? He's way more powerful than any scary situation you might be facing in life right now. He's your shepherd. And so David could also say later on in Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Do we have to be afraid? Isaiah writes in Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." If you're a Christian tonight, that's for you. If the Lord's your shepherd, that's for you. You know, you look back and you think about David's life, and I see such a courageous man. I mean, and just all the things that he went through. I mean, we know early on when he was out tending the sheep, lions would come and bears, and he would take out lions and bears. In fact, that's where he was doing all his slingshot practice, getting ready for the big giant, Goliath, later. God protected him from Saul, who tried to spear him to the wall twice. Saul hunted David around for over 10 years. Again, the protection of God upon his life. But the signature event that we remember David for is that fight with the giant, Goliath, right? And it's such a dramatic event. Here's this little shepherd boy. He was a teenager. And this giant Philistine named Goliath, almost 9 feet tall. David, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Everybody else is freaking out, right? But this teenager who knew that the Lord was with him, who knew that the Lord was his shepherd, filled with boldness and courage. The Bible says that when they went out, David ran at him. Think of that teenager. I always see him running and that long hair blowing in the wind. And there he is running. The Bible says that he took 5 stones. Why did he take 5 stones? Did he think he might need more opportunities? Well, we're told later that Goliath had 4 brothers. He's wanting to take them all out. And we're told after he kills Goliath, David's the one who leads the charge and runs straight at the Philistine army. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord has your back. And then I see many other blessings in this psalm, just hard to categorize them, just general blessings. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's what David says. The Lord's my shepherd and my cup runs over. He anoints my head with oil. Mercy and goodness will follow me all the days of my life. Same for us. His abundant blessing poured out upon us in this life. We're told in Ephesians chapter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. If you are a Christian, you have his peace, his joy, his presence, his power, his hope, his grace. That's all yours. So think about that. In this life, if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, if he's your shepherd, you have complete and total satisfaction. You have his guidance. You have the promise of provision. You have all of these other blessings. You have his protection. All of that is yours. But it goes on, it even goes further in this psalm. For you see, if the Lord is your shepherd, he'll also be there for you at the moment of your death. Again, I point you to verse 4. David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. As I said, there were many times where David found himself in life and death situations. And there are many times in David's life where God delivered him. But there did come a time in David's life where he breathed his last breath on this planet. He died. The end of the road. And when he took his last breath, the shepherd was there. The shepherd was there and took him by the hand and brought him into his very presence. Now listen to this. If the Lord is your shepherd, you have all those blessings in this life, all that promise, all that hope. And if the Lord is your shepherd, he will be there at the moment of your death. We don't like to think about death, even as Christians. But I'll tell you what, as Christians, we don't need to fear death. And I will tell you right now from experience, I have been in rooms where a family member is dying. I have been in hospital rooms where the family has gathered around and it's time to say goodbye. And the Lord is with his believing son on the moment of his death in a profound way. I have spoken to them as they're taking, and they look beyond you. They see heaven. They see Jesus. They see the shepherd coming. You have that promise. The Lord, he takes you through. In fact, death for the Christian is a valley that you walk through, not a valley that you stay in. Amen. Death for a Christian is a shadow. Christ meets you. Christ takes you home. I was looking at Pastor Chuck Smith's, he's got a remembering a memorial, Chuck Smith Memorial Facebook page. And I love what it says there. It says when he was born, and then it says Chuck Smith moved to heaven October 3rd, 2013. I love it. Listen. If the Lord is your shepherd, heaven's your home. And you'll move there with him. And you have that promise. Now, it goes further with this psalm. Okay, the Lord's your shepherd. You have all this in this life. The Lord's your shepherd. He's there for you at the moment of your death. Did you know this psalm even pushes further into the future? What's the last verse A, he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. So David could look back and see how the shepherd's been faithful in his life in the past, and he could look forward and know that the shepherd is going to be there at the moment of his death, and he could look forward knowing that in the next life he will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The house of the Lord, God's house. What do you think that's going to be like? Heaven. You know, the Bible describes heaven in many different ways, and it tries to describe in ways that we can understand, but I don't think we can even begin to imagine what the house of the Lord is like. The book of Revelation describes a place called New Jerusalem. Streets of gold, pearly gates. And somebody put an ad together based on that, like a real estate ad. It goes, free, beautiful homes to be given away in a perfect city. With 100% pure water free. No light bills, perpetual lighting, permanent pavement, nothing undesirable, everything new, perfect health, immunity from accidents, the best of society, beautiful music, free transportation, Secure a contract today for the New Jerusalem. The Lord has promised a mansion for you. The Lord has promised, He's gone and built a mansion for you. If you belong to Him in this life, you're going to dwell with Him in His house forever. And then don't forget that one of the best things about heaven, one of the things that I'm looking forward to the most, is that you get brand new bodies. Amen on that one. As I get older, can you imagine? No more back pain. No more toothaches. No more wrinkles. No more doctors. No more prisons. No more drug addiction. No more crying. No more death. We can't even put our arms around it. But that is the promise. If you belong to the Lord, you have that promise. So do you see that everything's covered? If the Lord is your shepherd, you're surrounded. In the past, in the future, backwards, forwards, above, below, every area of life is covered. A busy executive kept this abridged version of Psalm 23 in his pocket at all times. It simply says, "Beneath me, green pastures. Beside me, still waters. With me, my shepherd. Before me, a table. Around me, mine enemies. After me, goodness and mercy. Beyond me, the house of the Lord." Now, I mentioned earlier how this is such a famous psalm. Lots of people know about this psalm. And a lot of people have read this psalm. But you do need to understand tonight that this psalm isn't for everybody. This psalm is only true for those who, along with David, can say, "The Lord is my shepherd." If you can't say the Lord is my shepherd, this psalm doesn't apply to you. But if you can say the Lord is my shepherd, this is all yours. Can you say that tonight? It doesn't count if you say, "You know, the Lord is my grandmother's shepherd. The Lord's my pastor's shepherd." You have to be able to say, "The Lord is my shepherd." And you say, "Well, how do you make the Lord your shepherd?" You ask Him. You ask Him. Who's the shepherd in Psalm 23? It's our Lord Jesus, isn't it? Lord Jesus is a good shepherd. He died on the cross for our sins, rose again, is alive today. The Bible says that if you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, all of your sins will be forgiven. And you know what? You'll be a part of His flock. He'll be your shepherd. But you have to ask Him. It doesn't happen by default. So, in Psalm 23, we have "The Lord is a shepherd." I want to look at Psalm 24. In Psalm 24, we have "The Lord as a king." And before we look at Psalm 24, we're going to read through it very quickly. I want to give you a picture. I want you to have a picture in your mind. Picture a victorious, glorious king marching towards the city of Jerusalem. He's just been victorious in battle, and he's marching toward the city of Jerusalem. The city of Jerusalem is closed. The gates are shut. The doors are shut. But here he comes, and as they get closer to the city of Jerusalem, somebody in his company, a herald, is going to shout to the watchman, who's on top of the wall, "Open the gates! Open the doors!" So get that picture in your mind. First, we have these words of praise as this victorious parade is heading towards Jerusalem. It says in verse 1, "The earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face." And then see that word Selah? That's a pause. That's a music. Okay, pause. And so here's what the people are saying as they're in this parade marching towards Jerusalem. Words of praise. And then they get closer to the city. And in verse 7, they say to the watchman on the wall, "Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." And then the watchman at the top of the wall says, "Who is this King of glory?" And the people reply, "The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle." And they get closer to the city of Jerusalem. The gates still haven't been lifted. So they shout out to the watchman again, "Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up your everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." And the watchman says, "Who is this King of glory?" And they all shout, "The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory." And then by implication, they finally open the gates. And the king rides in and sets up his throne and reigns and rules forever. Do you see the picture that this psalm presents? Now, I am certain that David, who was a king, experienced this many times, because we know David was a military man, and he would take his army, his military, they'd go out to battle, and they'd come back, and I can see them coming to the city of Jerusalem. "Open the gates, let us in." But I think it's very clear here that this is a messianic psalm. This is a prophetic psalm. Because look how they talk about this returning king. First of all, he is the Lord who has founded the earth upon the seas. The earth is the Lord's in all its fullness. He is called the King of glory. Verse 8, he is the Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Verse 10, the Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. It's really, really clear that this king is Jesus. And this is a picture of Jesus Christ coming back to Jerusalem victorious after the great tribulation. So let's remember our prophecy. Right now we're in the church age. I believe that we're awaiting the rapture of the church. At any moment, King Jesus can come for his people. The church will be raptured, and then you're going to kick off a 7-year tribulation period. It's a period of literally hell on earth, God's judgment being poured out, the Antichrist revealed, all that stuff that's going on. About midway through that last 7 years, you enter into what the Bible calls the Great Tribulation Period. Judgment. At the end of that great tribulation period, the nations gather against Israel and against the Lord. Jesus comes back in glory. And I believe we come with him. I'm looking for a bird's eye view. And the Bible teaches that Jesus will touch down on the Mount of Olives and there will be an immediate earthquake. That all of the enemies will be destroyed. That he will send out his angels, and those that belong to him, the elect, they'll be saved. They'll be ushered into the kingdom. Those who have been enemies will be judged. And I believe this psalm then describes this victorious parade. Here comes Jesus, the King of glory, the founder of the earth, saying to Jerusalem, open up your gates. Do you think they'll open up those gates? I'm pretty sure they will. Jesus will come in. He will reign and rule. He will set up his throne on the throne of David, over the kingdom of Israel, over the whole world. And we, as his people, will reign and rule with him at that time. This is what we're looking for. This is what we're waiting for. When King Jesus comes and returns. Now, it's interesting. You could take Psalm 22, Psalm 23, and Psalm 24 and put it all together. Remember in Psalm 22, you have Jesus dying on the cross. There's the Good Shepherd dying for the sins of the world. In Psalm 23, he's alive and he's blessing his people. Picture of how he's working with us now. And then here in Psalm 24, Jesus coming again. Setting up kingdom. Oh, what a day. What a hope. Psalm 24 is also a picture, I believe, of what kind of relationship that the Lord wants us to have with him as his people. Many of you here tonight, you've given your life to Jesus Christ. You can say in verse 3, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, he who has not lifted up his soul to an idol. You know, if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, if you've placed your faith in him, he's cleaned up, he's forgiven, he's washed away all of your sins, and you are a member of his family, and you have the guarantee of heaven tonight in all the promises of Psalm 23. But I also see Jesus marching towards our hearts. And I would ask you tonight, is he really king of your heart? I think Jesus pushes in. He comes in and he says, open up the gates. Open up the doors. Let me in. And as Christians, we need to let him in to reign and rule. And I found that the Lord keeps pushing even. Because sometimes we open up certain gates in our hearts and we leave other gates closed. And so he comes back again and he says, open up the gates. Open up the doors. Let me have all of you. Be fully surrendered. Let me be king over every area of your life. Have you let Jesus be that to you yet? You know, I'll tell you what, if you are totally surrendered to the Lord, I mean, you're going to go through difficult times in life, but you are the Lord. I mean, you'll know his power in your life. You'll know his kingship in your life. He'll help you. Now, I know some Christians, they might say, well, I've given the career issue over to the Lord, but I'm holding on to the relationship issue. Or vice versa. I've given this part of you to the Lord, this part of me to the Lord, but this other part, no, no, no. And you know what? The Lord, he comes and he goes and he says, open those gates. Open those doors. Let me in. Let me reign and rule there. Let him. Give every area of your life over to King Jesus. He will bless. I time and time again, the Lord has asked of my life, you need to release this to me. And there's been times where I'm like, I don't want to. It's mine. But he keeps saying, open the gates. Open the doors. And when you finally do it, it's a release. And you find out that he does a much better job with that area in your life than you could have ever done. Let him be king. And by the way, as the king, remember, he's also your shepherd. And we just read what he's got planned for you. Is he your king? Is he your shepherd? I'd like us to stop there. Why don't we bow our heads, close our eyes? Father, we want to thank you again tonight for your tremendous goodness. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we, along with John, would say, even so, come quickly. We can't wait for you to reign and rule, to reign and rule with you. But Lord, we ask that you would reign right now in our hearts. Tonight, I would like to give an invitation with your head bowed, eyes closed. Is the Lord your shepherd? Have you asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior? Open your heart to him right now. Pray this prayer with me. Lord, I invite you right now. Be my shepherd. Save my life. Thank you for dying for me. Wash away my sins. Place me in your flock. Lead my life. And then I'd like to give many of you an opportunity to just have a moment, a private time with your Lord. Maybe some of you have moved away from the path of righteousness. And the Lord would take that staff and draw you back tonight. Maybe you've sort of taken ownership of your life and you're trying to make things happen for yourself. I invite you to let the Lord really be your shepherd. Let him be your king. You just take a few moments right now. You talk to the Lord. All of us do that. Let's all stand.